There are those in the Christian church today that would say, doctrine's not all that important. The thing that's most important is grace. And as long as we have grace, doctrine leads people into legalism. There are so many people out there today who are so, if I can use the term, full of grace, or their theology is so grace-centered that there is no room for anything else. And if doctrine was not important, the word would not appear 45 times in the New Testament. The word doctrine literally means instruction or teaching. It is important to have sound doctrine because your doctrine will determine what you do and what you say. What you believe is what sponsors what you say and what you do. Your actions and your words are determined by your doctrine, by what you believe. Today, there is an old heresy raising its head in the Christian church. The devil doesn't have anything new. He just resurrects the old. And I'm going to give you one of those multi-syllable words here in just a moment that describes this particular heresy, which is right now running rampant through the Christian church. Antinomianism. Antinomianism. It comes from the Latin anti nomus, against law. Against law. I'm saved. I'm free. The law of God has no influence on me. I am completely free to do anything that I want to do, and God doesn't care about it. Because His grace has me covered. The ancient Gnostics, if you want to know more about that, I'm not going to talk a lot about that particular heresy, but If you want to know more about it, go to the internet and Google antinomianism. And you will get actually a better presentation than I can give you on that particular heresy. But what it creates in the life of Christians is this gross error. I'm saved. The grace of God has me covered. He keeps me. And therefore, I can go drink all I want. I can have sex anywhere and with anyone I want. I can run away from my family. I can curse, I can live immorally, I can move in with my boyfriend, I can sleep with whoever, I can, the moral laws are of no consequence to me. I can use profane language, I can do the club scene, I can experiment with all kinds of immoral behavior, because as the Gnostics believed, the only thing God's really concerned about is my spirit, and so I can do anything in my body, and it doesn't matter to God. That is ancient Gnosticism. Now, for those of us who are schooled in the Word of God, we wrinkle our brow, don't we? Because we say, how could anybody in their right mind believe that? Well, I'll tell you how somebody in their right mind can believe that. The devil entices, James says, by leading us in our lusts. James chapter 1. God doesn't tempt anybody with evil, but we are enticed and drawn away by our own lusts. And when that lust has conceived, it brings forth, you remember what? A three-letter word. Sin. And when sin is birthed, and when it is fully developed, it brings forth a five-letter word, death. Now, this is in a letter to Christians. Led astray by your lust, conceives sin. Now, if grace is covering all of that, then why would he even deal with this? And sin, when it is fully developed, brings forth death. Now, he's talking about spiritual death here. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death in the life of the brethren. That's why I said earlier, when we were talking earlier, before we actually began the message, about how so many Christians have very small Bibles. Because, see, you take that passage out. Because that passage doesn't fit your particular doctrine. What you believe will determine what you do. If you believe in this particular heresy, then you can go out and do anything you want to do and think that it has no effect on your relationship with God or ultimately your eternal future. Now, just because God's grace is true, and just because God's grace is powerful, and just because the grace of God reaches to us, does not mean that he does not have a desire for us to live in a certain way after we've been born again. It is true that you cannot earn your salvation. But it is also true that after you are born again, God has a right to expect a certain manner of life that is not legalistic. This opposition to legalism, which I hate too. I hate legalism. But this opposition to legalism, carried to the extreme, leads to this particular heresy that I'm describing for you. All of the New Testament apostles, all of the New Testament writers, were very concerned that this freedom that we have in Christ would not lead to licentiousness. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, in fact, let's turn there. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. We were in Galatians earlier as we were talking from chapter 1. But now the fifth chapter, verse 13. Well, let's start at verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. You remember we read from Galatians 1 where he said, if someone preach a different gospel, let him be accursed. Strong language. Here's strong language again. I would like to see those who trouble you cut off. I feel the same way. I do. I hate the fact that anyone in the name of Christ would bring a stumbling block into a Christian's life and cause them to fall into sin. Verse 13 says it so well. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. What's another word for liberty?
Freedom.
Freedom, thank you. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Are you listening? If you truly understand the grace of God and are walking in fellowship with God, you want to show your love to God by living in a way that's pleasing to Him. Those that are could I call it hyper grace? I hate to use that term, uber grace. I don't know how grace could ever be I don't know how you could ever have too much grace. I'm hesitant to use those terms because grace is grace. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we are all in deep trouble, aren't we? But Paul said in Romans, shall we then continue to sin so that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. That's not my doctrine. God forbid. So that I can get more grace and demonstrate to the world how graceful God is and how powerful his grace is, I'm going to go out and sin like crazy. I'm going to live like the devil. I'm going to swear and curse, and I'm going to do every woman I can find, and I'm going to even experiment with homosexual activity, and I'm going to drink until I'm sick and throw up my guts, and I'm going to karaoke, and I'm going to bar hop, and I'm going to club. And I'm going to eat at the devil's table everything I can find, and then everybody will see the grace of God in me. Paul said, God forbid. God forbid. What a horrible perversion of the doctrine of the grace of God. Let us understand that once saved, we have been saved unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. Well, the person who's on this grace binge, if I can call it that, this false doctrine, would say, well, the New Testament, it's all the law of love, just love. As long as we love, we're okay with God, because that's the only law he has. And I would say yes, but what is the first law of love? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength and all thy might, with your spirit, your soul, and your body. You love God. Now, if I love God, I'm not going to live like the devil. Now, to us, it's simple sitting here as we think this through. The law of love would not allow you to live in these sinful ways, would it, if we really loved him? But that's the answer that you get from people who are on this trip to nowhere. We are free. We are free from the power of sin and the slavery of sin, but we are not free from sound doctrine. The whole New Testament is full of doctrine. It's full of instruction. It's full of teaching. Let's look at a few verses here. Let's look first of all at Titus. One of the things you will notice, if you read Paul's letters, you will notice that he speaks about doctrine over and over again in his pastoral letters. What I mean by that is his letters to the pastors. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. If you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll see the word doctrine come up over and over again. Titus was the pastor to the church on Crete. If you read Titus, you will see the word doctrine coming up over and over again. Because Paul was very concerned that his pastors would teach the church sound doctrine so that the church would not get off on these wild toots that will cost the believer his eternal life, ultimately. Not that God will take it away, but we will give it up when we get so deep in sin. That is the net result. James chapter 1, when sin fully developed, it brings forth death. Titus 2 and verse 1, and this is what I'm trying to do today. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Now look at the first chapter of Titus and the 9th verse, speaking here about the qualifications for elders. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. A gainsayer is a disputer or a refuter of sound doctrine, and there are gainsayers in the church. And then just the page before, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, these are his last words, the last recorded words that we have. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says to Pastor Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You preach it whether they like it or not. You preach it whether it's convenient to them or not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what?
Doctrine.
For the time will come when they will not endure what kind of doctrine?
Sound
doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, he says in verse 12 and 13, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what happens here. You see, if you don't watch your lusts, you get deceived. And when you are self-deceived, I'll tell you, the people who believe what I'm talking about here this morning, the people who believe are very persuasive if you don't know the Word of God. The reason they're persuasive is because they believe it themselves. They're self-deceived. And they're so bold and so confident in it. If you know the Word of God, you will read what they write and you will laugh out loud. LOL. I'm hip. I'm hip. I dig. Amen. But if you're not... We can have a little fun with our sound doctrine, can't we? But if you're not in the Word of God, and if you do not know the Word of God for yourself, you can be persuaded. And you can be deceived by a person who has already deceived themselves. Now, the adjective sound. You notice how many times we saw the word sound connected with doctrine? The word sound means healthy or whole. You've heard me say over and over again that we're going to preach in this church the whole counsel of God. Whether we like it or don't like it, whether it's convenient or not convenient, in season, out of season, it doesn't make any difference. If it is the Word of God, we're going to teach it. We're going to proclaim it. And then we deal with it. You know, you can accept it, receive it, adjust to it, or reject it. But that's the way we're going to do. That's the way Jesus did. That's the way Paul did. That's the way James and John and Peter did. That's the way all of the New Testament writers did. That's what we're going to do. We're going to preach the whole counsel of God because that will keep us spiritually healthy. But when sound, the adjective, is added to the word doctrine, the noun, it indicates that there may be other kinds of doctrine. And there are. 1 Timothy, we're in the neighborhood, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, which Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, that would be demonic spirits, and doctrines of devils. So there are sound doctrine, there is sound doctrine, and then there are doctrines of devils, which come forth from seducing demonic spirits, that will cause some to depart from the faith, This is dangerous business, people. This is not games. This is life and death. Protect yourself and protect your children. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is scarred. I've got a scar on my hand here. I can prick it with a needle and I don't feel anything. You say, how can people look at this and believe it and have it not prick their conscience? Because it's scarred. It's scarred over time. And they don't feel it. There's no sensitivity there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9 warns us. Ephesians 4 around verse 16 somewhere in there speaks essentially the same thing. This particular verse, Hebrews 13, 9 says, be not carried away with divers and what? Strange doctrine. See, not sound doctrine, but strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Divers, various types of strange doctrines. Now, I told you earlier that the word doctrine in the Greek literally means instruction or teaching. That means that there are seducing or strange teachers or instructors. And the Bible talks about them and uses these terms. False prophets. False Christs. False witnesses. False apostles. False brethren. False teachers. So you have all of this heresy coming from all of these different sources. False prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false Christ, false brethren, false witnesses. And we're warned over and over and over and over and over again about this. Do you think that the Spirit of God would give us so many warnings if doctrine didn't matter? The only thing that mattered was freedom. The only thing that mattered was grace. I tell you, I've been dealing with this off and on over the years. I've been in the ministry since 1977. What is that, 33 years? I've been dealing with this for at least 30 out of those 33 years. And what happens is it pops up and then it kind of goes away. Then it pops up and it goes away. And it pops up and goes away. And do you know how it pops up? It pops up through false witnesses. Or false apostles, or false teachers, or false brethren. And it's popping up now. And that's why I'm teaching on it today. Because if it's popping up in my life and I'm seeing it, it may very well be popping up in your life. You want to be cautious here. Always measure what you believe against the Word of God and the witness of the Spirit inside you. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, let everything be established. Matthew 15, let's go there as we conclude. Matthew 15, and this is a warning to anyone who is operating in unsound, false, or treacherous doctrine, divers and strange doctrines. Matthew 15 and verse 9. The people who are caught up in this. So I love God. God loves me. I'm saved and I'm good and God's good and we're good together and everything's fine and I'm going to serve the Lord and the Lord's blessing my life and so on and so forth. And even though I'm doing these things that I know you all think are wrong, it doesn't make any difference because God and I are good. We're tight. Jesus said, but in vain. Do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? It is empty worship, empty service, teaching for doctrine the ideas and the words of men. People who do this are going to get major surprise if they are not careful. In Matthew chapter 7, I told you that was going to be my last verse, but I can't quite do that. Matthew 7, verse 15 warns us to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know what ravening is? Vicious and devouring and savage. Oh, sweet. Oh, syrupy sweet, you know, with the words and the smiles and oh, and the prayers and the ministry and so on, but inside savage. Jesus' words, not mine. Ye shall know them by their what? And then verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you'll know them. And then here's the key. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Haven't I served you? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I had a pastor once who said, everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going. That was his interpretation of this passage. Everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going. Everybody who's talking about grace don't know a thing about it. Remember what I told you many times over the years. How the devil works. The Lord showed me this. You know I like horses, and I've been around horses most of my life. I'm not a professional horseman, anything like that. But I like horses. I like the smell of them. I like the look of them. I just like horses. What the devil tries to do is similar to mounting a horse. As you mount, what the devil does is grab you by the belt loop and try to hold you back to keep you from getting on the horse. He will drag on you and pull on you. When you're attempting to come to Christ, he will pull on you and throw all sorts of doubts and fears at you to keep you from getting on the horse. When you are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're seeking any of the promises of God, he will pull on you and try to keep you from mounting. Once you throw your right leg up over that horse and you are about to be seated, what he will do is shove you when you are not fully seated, when you're not secure. He'll give you a push. He doesn't care what side of the horse you fall off of, as long as you're not sitting mounted in the saddle. And this is what's happening to these people who have come to Christ and genuinely know him. But they get pushed. And instead of holding firm to the mount and grabbing that fistful of mane or that horn or whatever and getting those foots anchored in the stirrups of sound doctrine, flying free, legs astride and hands raised, and I'm free, baby. And the devil goes, whoop. And doctrinally, you go off the other side. And that's where these folks are. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. You don't let it happen to you. You don't let it happen to your family. And if there's somebody you know that you can help, now I've got to tell you that people that are in this condition are almost impossible to help. Because the religious spirits, these are demonic spirits, the demonic religious spirits are among the most powerful. Those and sodomy spirits are two of the most powerful demonic forces that I've ever encountered. Very difficult, not impossible, but difficult. If you have an eye, if you can, you know how. If a person is open, you can share with them. If they're not open, you know what I'm doing? No. What am I doing here? I'm shaking the dust off my feet. And I am committing them to God. I'm committing them to God. Okay? Because I can't fix them. I commit them to God. And I'm going on with my, I've got a life. I care about them. I do. I will try. But if they are stubborn and stiff-necked, commit them to the Lord and go on with your life. Let's pray. Lord, we believe that your word washes us, cleanses us, and keeps us clean, just like a good soap keeps our body clean. We believe the ministry of your word will keep us secure and firm, mounted on that steed, that great powerful steed of sound doctrine, that we will not be moved with every wind of doctrine that comes along. We will never be ashamed of you or your words, all of your words, because we know all of your word has power. All of it. In the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Here's a scripture I forgot to give you. You need this one. It works here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You probably all know this scripture by heart. Chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. All scripture is profitable for doctrine. How much of the scripture is profitable for doctrine?
All
of it. It's all profitable for doctrine. Also for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.